past few weeks, we've been sharing in the story of Ruth's journey in the Old Testament toward the blessing of God. And today, we're going to see that she embarks on a risky part of that journey, one that could well bring her undone. Seems that's always part of the faith journey, isn't it? Risk. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and thanks so much for joining me again on Christianity Works. Today, we're going to be diving into the love of God, the healing, blessing, powerful, undying, never-ending love of God. All right, let's head into His Word. And look, please do stay tuned, because in just a few minutes, I'll be telling you about a free booklet that I'd love to send you. It's called, Does God Really Want to Bless Me? I'd love to help you actually live in the blessings that God has for you. That's what that booklet is all about. Now, you may recall that over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about this woman, Ruth, a Moabite woman who marries an Israelite. We read all about it in the Old Testament book of Ruth. It all comes about because there's a famine in the land of Israel. So one family, headed by a man named Elimelech, with his wife Naomi and their two sons, flees to the land of Moab. There, Elimelech and his sons die, leaving Naomi with her two daughters-in-law, Ruth and Orpah, all as widows. As things turn out, Naomi and one of those young women return to Bethlehem in Israel, because that's where Naomi's family is. That's where her extended support network is. But their problem is quite simply that as widows, one young, one old, they were destitute. In those days, without a husband, a woman had no way to provide for herself. And the interesting thing is, the thing that struck me about both Ruth and her mother-in-law Naomi, as much as it hurt, as much as they felt the anguish of their predicament, they just didn't sit there and wallow in their grief and their misery. Instead, they stepped out, took some risks, and went on a journey towards God's blessing. That's the key. That's the thing we learn from them. And as they travel along that road, we discover a few things about God too. Today we're going to look at the mindset of taking risks along this journey into God's blessing, because stepping out, risking it all, is, I think, part of God's plan. Ruth's story is a powerful one, and we're picking it up today at the beginning of chapter 3 of the book of Ruth. There's this relative of Naomi's, a man called Boaz. He's a wealthy landowner, and because young Ruth was prepared to go and glean some of the leftovers in one of his fields during the harvest time, she's already run into him once, and he warmed to her. He'd blessed her, and she was shocked by the blessing. Have a listen as we turn back to Ruth chapter 2, beginning at verse 10. Then she fell prostrate with her face to the ground, and she said to Boaz, "Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me when I'm a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and your mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. May the Lord reward you for your deeds, and may you have a full reward from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." See, Ruth was loyal to her older mother-in-law, journeying to a foreign land with her. She was diligent, she was hard-working, not too proud to pick up the leftovers of the harvest with the other poor people. So by God's grace, through His doing, she'd come across Boaz. But the story doesn't end there. Have a listen as we look at what Naomi and Ruth do next. I'm reading here from Ruth chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, I need to seek some security for you so that it may be well with you. Now, here is your kinsman Boaz, with whose young women you have been working. See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Now wash and anoint yourself and put on your best clothes and go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." She said to her, "All that you tell me, I will do." Now, let me tell you, this was risky. This was very risky. In our time and our culture, we may not fully understand what's going on here. Go and lie down at his feet. What's that all about? It seems just a little inappropriate, doesn't it? After all, Boaz is a wealthy landowner. Ruth, as young and pretty as she probably was a poor widow. They weren't married, so whatever we may think of the morals, I mean, every indication is they had no physical intimacy here. Just the boldness of initiating this physical proximity, which should only ever occur between husband and wife. The bottom line of all this is that Ruth is being asked to do something right out there on the very edge. This is very risky. She's been asked to lay it all on the line, to step out in a place that would have been quite frightening, to do something that, given the morals and customs of the day, would have been very uncomfortable for her, and to risk her reputation and future blessing from Boaz by executing her mother-in-law Naomi's plans. Now, Naomi seems to have some wisdom from God here. Her motivations are right. She's trying to get security happening for her young daughter-in-law. By doing this, she's asking Ruth effectively to propose to Boaz. That's what this means. That's what this is all about. Now, I'm not going to get hung up on the moral rights and wrongs of all of this. That's not the point. The point is that Naomi believed that God had put Boaz there for a reason, and that that reason was to bless Ruth with long-term security, which in turn would bless Naomi. They were prepared to take risks in order to step out into God's blessing. Now, this is a hard call. It's by no means cut and dried. But, you know, I wonder how often we find ourselves in the proximity of God's blessing. And what's required is the courage to step out and apparently take a risk. And what we do instead is we recoil and we miss out on the blessing that God had planned for us in the first place. Now, I don't know about you, I often struggle with this. Is it time for me to step out and do something? Or should I sit and wait for God to do something? On the one hand, I don't want to be running around doing all this stuff when God has it all under control. That's how we end up running ahead of him or working against him. Half the time we think we have to do it, which is a sign of a lack of faith. But, you know, other times, oftentimes in fact, he's prepared the blessing, it's laid out ready to go, but you and I need to step out into it and go and do something. Something scary, risky often, to lay hold of that blessing. And the only way I've been able to figure out how to know which one is which is to make sure I spend some time every day praying and reading God's word and listening and discerning his will. It seems as time's gone on, that's something I'm getting better at, although, you know, I don't think we're ever meant to reach perfection in this area. It's a faith thing, a part of growing in our relationship with Jesus. And God knows our heart. He always honours a good heart. This one thing's for certain, though. There are many times when we need to step out and trust him in order to lay hold of his blessing. I'm Bernie Diamond, and you're listening to Christianity Works. I'd just like to take a moment during this short break to share something truly important with you. Blessing is not an easy subject to chat about because all too often we don't actually feel all that blessed. And that's why I'd love to send you a free copy of our latest life application booklet. It's called Does God Really Want to Bless Me? It's full of life-changing, practical Bible teaching to help you actually live in the blessings that God has for you. In fact, at the end of each chapter, you'll see a series of life application questions to help you think through and apply God's word right into the realities of your life. So, to request your free copy, stop by at our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com, and you'll see that free offer right there towards the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be winging its way to your inbox in just seconds. It really is that easy. Again, that web address is ChristianityWorks.com. Now, sometimes in our journey with Jesus, we're called to take a step into the unknown. And frankly, oftentimes, it's the sort of step that if God isn't in that place, if God isn't blessing it, well, we're going to fall flat on our faces. Right now, we're going to see how the young widow Ruth from the Old Testament took such a step. And we're going to find out how it turned out. Now, I'm the last person on the planet who's going to suggest to you that you should take unwarranted risks. That'd be crazy. Imagine investing your life savings in a stock that you don't know anything about because you heard a friend say that they thought it was going up. Imagine driving through floodwaters when the water's up over the bonnet or the hood of the car. Imagine letting yourself be pushed over Niagara Falls in a barrel. people do some crazy things in life. They take unwarranted, badly calculated risks. And while sometimes they win, many times they don't. People lose their savings, even their lives, through unwarranted risk. But you know something? Sometimes God calls us to take what appear to be risks. And right now, I'd like to kind of explore with you the difference between a risk and a step of faith. Because whilst a step of faith may appear risky, actually, it's not a risk at all. Because if it's part of God's plan, even though his plan may be that we don't win the prize we thought we might be entitled to, when we're on God's journey with our life in his hands, it's not a risk at all. It's just that stepping out in faith is not something we do naturally. It's something our flesh recoils from. And as we join Ruth and Naomi on their journey again today, we're going to take another look at this huge risk, massive risk, that Ruth took on her journey toward the blessings of God. But now things get really hairy. As we saw before the break, Naomi cooks up this risky plan for Ruth to go and sleep at Boaz's feet. Very out there in the context of the culture. And let me tell you, this was risky, very risky. In our time, in our culture, we may not fully understand what's going on here. Go and lie down at his feet. What's it all about? It seems a little inappropriate. After all, Boaz is wealthy. Ruth's, okay, young and pretty, but she was a poor widow. They aren't married. This was out there on the edge, and from a human perspective, it was anybody's guess how it would turn out. It was very forward for this poor young woman to do something like this, and it could have ended in disaster. If God wasn't in Naomi's crazy plan, Ruth was sunk. So let's take a look and see how it turns out. Ruth chapter 3, beginning at verse 6. So she went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law had instructed her. When Boaz had eaten and drunk, and he was in a contented mood, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. Then she came stealthily and uncovered his feet and lay down. At midnight, the man was startled and turned over, and there lying at his feet was a woman. He said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I'm Ruth, your servant. Spread your cloak over your servant, for you are next of kin." He said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. This last instance of your loyalty is better than the first. You have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not be afraid. I will do for you all that you ask, for all the assembly of my people know that you are a worthy woman." I kind of chuckle at this every time I read it. I try and imagine going to sleep on my own. I mean, I really enjoy my sleep. And I'm rolling over from one side to the other around about midnight, and all of a sudden, I realize there's a stranger, a woman no less, lying at my feet. I think I'd jump out of my skin. I think you'd be scraping me down off the ceiling. And I would not, let me tell you, be overly impressed by this bold, this rude intrusion into my space. Take that one step further. Back in that culture where this sort of behaviour by a young woman amongst God's people was completely and utterly unacceptable, and you start to get some idea of the risk that Ruth was taking. Had Boaz reacted the way he should have, she was in serious trouble. But he didn't. Why? Because God had gone ahead of Ruth and softened his heart. Instead of cursing her, he blessed her. Instead of seeing her behavior as inappropriate, he saw it for what it was, an act of loyalty to her mother-in-law, Naomi's family. And Boaz knew, he knew that Ruth had every reason to be afraid. We know that because he said to her in verse 11, "And now, my daughter, do not be afraid." And after that, something really quite odd. "Do not be afraid. I will do for you all that you ask, for all the assembly of my people know that you are a worthy woman." Hang on a minute. We didn't hear Ruth ask for anything here. What did she ask for? Well, by behaving in this way, by going and lying at a man's feet by night, as only a wife in that culture would have done, she was in fact proposing to him. She was asking him to marry her. Now, even today in the West, while some women do propose to men, 90% of the time, it's the other way around. It's really quite rare for a woman to propose to a man today. And back in that culture, a woman proposing to a man was just completely unheard of. You just didn't do that, right? Friend, the point of what God is teaching us here is this. When he is up to something, as he was here with Ruth and Naomi and Boaz, when he has a blessing happening for us, it often seems risky and dangerous. But if it's from him, nothing is going to stop that blessing from happening. I remember I had a meeting recently with a man. I was dreading this meeting. I had to go and give him some bad news. I had no idea how things would turn out. When I walked into the meeting room and began to share the bad news with him, what I discovered was that God had already gone ahead of me, prepared his heart in a way that I didn't expect. I could never have dreamed up his response for myself, and it completely blew me away. I just knew that God was in that room with me, smiling, blessing me, because I'd gone to the place he had led me to with the intention to be honest and direct and to honour him. As scary as that was, I rediscovered in my own experience what we learn here from Ruth. Fear often accompanies us on the journey into God's blessing, but nothing is going to undo God's purposes and God's plans. Let me tell you, absolutely nothing.
I'm Bernie Diamond and you're listening to Christianity Works. As we take this short break, I'd like to tell you about a free daily resource that I'd love to send to you to help you draw ever closer to God. It's called Fresh, a short daily devotional with a scripture verse and some words of inspiration, hope and encouragement delivered right to the inbox on your smartphone, tablet or computer each and every day. You can read it, listen to the audio or watch the daily video. It's completely up to you. God's Word, fresh for you each day. It's completely free. To get instant access, just stop by our mobile-friendly website, christianityworks.com. You'll see the Fresh e-devotional sign up right there at the top of the homepage. And when you do subscribe, you'll instantly receive a free copy of the e-book, How Can I Hear God Speak to Me? That web address again, in case you missed it, is christianityworks.com. So go ahead, sign up to receive Fresh, and may your heart be touched and transformed as you draw ever closer to Jesus through his word. Have you ever been on a journey towards the blessings of God and you think you've arrived, you think you've made it, yippee, and all of a sudden you come to the top of the hill only to discover that it was a false crest and that there's more to go? It happens rather a lot. So what's God up to?
Now, I don't know if you've noticed, but God doesn't always bless us in the way that we were hoping or the way we were expecting. Have you noticed that? Before the break, we saw Ruth take the bold step of going out to the field and in the evening sneaking along beside Boaz and lying down and sleeping at his feet. It's very forward. The sort of thing only a wife would do. It was, in effect, a marriage proposal. And whose idea was this bold move to take the relationship with Boaz, a potential husband, a potential provider, to that next step? Well, it was Naomi's idea, Naomi being Ruth's also widowed mother-in-law. Now let's just circle back and have another listen to what Naomi tells young Ruth to do, just to remind ourselves of the beginning of the book of Ruth, chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, I need to seek some security for you so that it may be well with you. Now, here is your kinsman Boaz, with whose young women you have been working. See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Now wash and anoint yourself and put on your best clothes and go to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, observe the place where he lies down. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." And she said to her, "All that you have told me I will do." So Ruth goes and does this and finds Boaz's favour. That's the point here. It was a big risk, a big gamble from a human perspective, but God's favour was resting on Ruth. Can I tell you, sometimes I think we miss this whole point of God's favour. God is a God who loves us, like any dad. He knows we're not going to be perfect, and his heart is to see us grow and develop with his help to be all that he's made us to be. And he loves us. And when we're walking in his will, his favour rests upon us, even in, let me say, especially in difficult and dark circumstances. When Israel was in slavery to Egypt and God called Moses to go to Pharaoh and to lead his people out of Egypt into the promised land, this is what it says when God told them to go and ask the Egyptians for gold and silver. Exodus chapter 11, verse 3, the Lord gave the people favour in the sight of the Egyptians. See, that's what God does. And we should never, ever forget that. The favour of God. So the favour of God, he rested on Naomi, and Boaz knew exactly what her daughter-in-law Ruth was asking him. Her bold act, as we saw earlier, was in effect a marriage proposal, one that took such great courage. Remember what Boaz said to her? And now, my daughter, do not be afraid. I will do for you all that you ask, for all the assembly of my people know that you are a worthy woman. See, he got it. So at this point, Ruth's spirit must have soared. She's been on this long, impossible journey. She stepped out time and time again. She's done some pretty scary things in order to chase down the blessings of God. And that's exactly what God calls us to do sometimes. Walk an apparently dangerous road, an uncertain road, as we journey towards his blessings. And it seems to her that she's finally arrived. She's won the prize. Yippee! And then all of a sudden, she's almost there. This is what Boaz says to her. Ruth chapter 3, beginning at verse 12. But, don't you love it when you're almost there at a blessing and someone comes up with a but now, though it is true that I am a near kinsman, there is another kinsman more closely related to you than I am. Remain this night, and in the morning, if he will act as next of kin for you, good, let him do it. If he is not willing to act as next of kin for you, then, as the Lord lives, I will act as next of kin for you. Lie down until the morning. So she lay down at his feet until morning, but got up before one person could recognize another. For he said, it must not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor. Then he said, bring the cloak that you are wearing and hold it out. So she held it, and he measured out 6 measures of barley and put it on her back. Then he went into the city. She came to her mother-in-law, who said, how did things go with you, my daughter? Then she told her all that the man had done for her, saying, he gave me these 6 measures of barley, for he said, do not go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed. Well, Naomi replied, wait, my daughter, until you learn how this matter turns out, for the man will not rest, but will settle the matter today. See, Ruth's almost there. And Boaz falls back on tradition. The tradition was that if a woman in a family was widowed, then within that family there was a hierarchy of responsibility for marrying her. I mean, I know it sounds a bit weird these days that a relative of the dead man would marry his widow, but it was a very practical tradition because, remember, a woman without a husband was destitute in this patriarchal society. It actually made a lot of sense. And here, Ruth thinks she's arrived. She's won the prize. This gentle, kind, wealthy Boaz who's blessed her and noticed her and been kind to her. I mean, man, what a husband. This is like winning the jackpot. What a catch. But wait, he comes back to her with this huge butt. She might get farmed off to another kinsman. Who could that be? What's he like? He might be rude or horrible. He might be a wife beater. Oh, goodness. I thought I was there. I thought I had God's blessing. So Boaz sends her off in the morning with a stack more food, a huge blessing, and only the promise that either someone else would marry her, and if not that other man, then Boaz would marry her. Can you imagine the uncertainty with which she returned home to Naomi in the morning, the burden in her heart, her whole future hanging in the balance? But in her great wisdom, her mother-in-law gives her this advice. Wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest, but will settle this matter today. God doesn't always take us on a direct journey. He doesn't always make it easy. Seems that at every turn on this road towards his blessing, he takes the opportunity to stretch us and to grow us and to develop our faith in him. He's wanting us not just to have his blessing kind of dropped in our laps. He's wanting us to grow into his blessing, to experience his blessing, to learn about his faithfulness. That's what he's up to. And my prayer is that as you journey towards his blessings and you're stretched and you're tested by God, that the Holy Spirit would bring this truth to rest in your heart, that the Holy Spirit would remind you of the journey of Ruth into God's blessing.
we have time for today. But before I go, there's something very important that I need to share with you. Our passion here at Christianity Works is to see your life powerfully transformed as you draw ever closer in a rich, dynamic relationship with Jesus. So let me encourage you to check out the treasure trove of practical, relevant, and life-changing Bible teaching available at our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. It's full of free resources to help you draw closer to God. So dive into the Media Lounge to watch our weekly Christianity Works television broadcast or the daily fresh devotional videos. Everything's been conveniently categorized so that you can filter the content to quickly lay hold of just the teaching that you need for what you're going through today. Remember, everything on the site is free, including that booklet I mentioned earlier, Does God Really Want to Bless Me? And the fresh daily e-devotional. With all my heart, I know that Jesus wants to have a powerful impact on your life, to bring you His joy, His peace, and His power. So go on, head across to our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again same time next week with another message of God's love, God's grace, and God's power for each one of us in Jesus Christ.